I want to just touch on something briefly this morning. Some of these things we already know, but it's really good to remind ourselves. And along with that, you know, talking about Corey and Natalie, I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves as to why we're here in this earth. It's to serve people and to serve God first and then serve people. And that means in whatever capacity we're in, you know, wherever, you know, it's not just some people say, well, I serve God, you know, when I go to church on Sunday. Yeah, that's true. But you also serve him every day. You know, you are his. And so for us, we need to remind ourselves of that. I just read a couple of scriptures. I just was meditating on this morning. You know, sometimes we need to just remind ourselves every day when I get up that I'm at his direction, his delight to do what he wants. Galatians 5:13 in the King James, it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And I like some of the other, this is a contemporary English version. It says, "My friends, you were not chosen to be free." I'm sorry, "You were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want." See? So we're set free, but don't use that freedom to just say, "Well, I'm going to do whatever I want." No, it says, use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. So that's what we're here for, is to operate in the love of God, reach people. That's the Great Commission. The New Living Translation of Galatians 5:13, it says, "You've been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love." So we've been set free to serve. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." The New American Standard says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No soldier in active service, and anybody who's been in active service knows exactly what this means. It says, "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we're supposed to be not responsible with the responsibilities that we have in everyday life? No, it just means that you're not to be entangled with them such that I can't be at God's beck and request, "Go do this." "No, I can't do that. I'm too busy." No, that's not what that means. It means you're to make space for him to use you. He knows what you have. He knows what responsibilities you have. He knows you may have children. He knows you may have a job. But it means that I'm yielding myself to be used. And that, "Oh, no, I'm too busy. I can't do that. I got this. I got that." No, it just means that when you get entangled with something, that means you're bound. You're bound by those things that you've gotten entangled in. And he said, no soldier is entangled with what? The affairs of everyday life. So it just means that whether you're, it doesn't matter whether you've got, you're single, married, retired, you know, what, it doesn't matter what age you are. It just means that you can get entangled in life. And so we just need to remind ourselves that Jesus' return is so close that we need to be available and yielded to him to do what he needs to get done. There's many people who've not heard of the good news of the gospel. They haven't heard it. And you might say, well, how's that possible in this country? I got to tell you, it was a few years ago, before all of this pandemic business going on, we would do street fairs. You know, you have a street fair here in Stroudsburg, and you have them down in Rockland County where we are, Long Island, New York, you have street fairs, right? And we would participate in them. I remember, I wasn't there, but I was told one of our booths in Nanuet on the street fair, we were giving out cookies and material and different things, right? So this little number wanted to get another cookie. So she said, Mommy, can I get another cookie? So they went back and got a cookie from the table. And one of our helpers there said, the little girl came up and said, Mommy, what is a church? Yeah. So you have generational issues. You've got people that, let's say maybe your mother or father or maybe your grandparents, they ain't go to church. And you have no idea what church is. And that's what we have now in society. If parents aren't sharing something at home, then most likely it not being shared. And I guarantee it's not being shared in schools. So, and in society, forget it. So it's, when I say, you say, well, we have an opportunity to share our testimony of how good God is, then whoever you run into, you share the good news of the gospel. Love people. Amen. So wherever we're at, be a witness for them. Something the Lord, and I've been teaching on this for a while, but I wanted to just focus on this today, on divine increase and increasing. I've just been hearing for a long time in my heart, increase, increase. Now that has a lot of facets to it, but all I kept hearing down here was increase, 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 increase. Increase in every area of your life. Increase in your reading of the Bible. Increasing in your time of prayer. Increasing in praying in the Spirit. Increase, increase in your giving. Increase in your time that you give to the work of things. Increase in helping and maybe in the community. Increase. Because time's short, and we need to increase, not decrease, but increase. But I wanted to look at this, when we talk about increase, God desires, 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things that you may prosper, that's increasing. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. So God desires that we do what? Prosper and be in health. So when you look at the promises of God, they're supported through the redemptive. It's a redemptive promise. So what do? We have to look back at redemption. And you have to look back at the blood of Jesus. You have to look at his sacrifice. What did he pay for? He paid for us to be free, and he paid for us to be blessed, to be set free. And so when we talk about the word of God, God's word does what? It reveals his attitude, what he thinks about what? Sin and sickness and disease. And what? Our freedom, our salvation. So when we look at that, we need to look at the Word of God as a what does God think about my redemption or sickness and disease? You know, I was sharing with Pastor Greg yesterday. We were doing a wedding, and on the way there, down to Cranberry, New Jersey, I said, you know, it's interesting. The thought comes to me sometimes, you know, when you, as they do to you. We are in a relationship with God through Jesus. So when we ask Jesus to come into our heart, what happened? Instantly, we became a brand new creature. Any man in Christ, he's a brand new creature. And so you became brand new. And it says in Galatians 2, verse 20, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. So because he lives in me, I'm brand new now, and he's taken up residence. I'm in a covenant relationship, just like spouses exchange vows to get married or to be married. They enter into a covenant relationship with one another, and how do they do that? They released words of faith, and those faith words put into action or motion a spiritual thing, a supernatural thing, where their spirits became what? One. And so that's no different than when I asked Jesus into my heart. Supernaturally, the power of God went into operation, and we became one. We became one. So when I say I am a brand new creature, it's not this outward. You know, if I always say, if you're tall, you're still tall. If you were fat, you were still fat. If you were skinny, you were still skinny. If you got a big nose, you still got a big nose. But you're not, it's not the outward that changed. This inward man changed. And I'm brand new. And so, you know, we were talking about just things, and you know, when you are in covenant with God, you know, who is God? It says in the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning, it says, let's turn over there so we all can look at this and read it together. I know you know it, but let's just read it. John 1:1. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was God. So, wait till everybody gets there, including me. I like reading it just because he can quote it. In the beginning, I'm reading from the King James. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if God is in me and I've entered into a covenant with God, I've entered into a covenant with the Word. I've entered into covenant with God, and I've entered into covenant with the Word of God. And sometimes we need to step back and remind ourselves that if I'm in covenant with the Word of God, then I have to abide by this. Is that not true? Then I don't just, what does it say? It says, you know, you have this freedom, this liberty, yes, but you are to abide by this. That's no different. I was sharing this with Pastor Greg. You know, people ask us sometimes, well, could you marry us? And we go, sure, on one condition. What's that condition? Are you born again? No. Well, then I can't marry you. Unless you ask Jesus into your heart. because I'm not going to join somebody who's, as the scripture says, what fellowship hath light with darkness? So there's some things, it's not being harsh, but if you are in covenant, then you have to obey his rules and his guidelines. It's no different than when a man and a woman exchange vows. They enter into covenant with one another, and they just don't do what they want to do they? Unless there's some problems, you could have a problem. So if you are in covenant with each other, you don't just lie to one another, you don't cheat on one another, you don't hold secrets from one another. You are in covenant. You don't hold, well, you can't hold a secret from God. He already knows what you're thinking. But the point is, it's the same in some respects like a marriage. If you're in covenant, that means we're abiding by this. And we're abiding by the word of God because it's life. It is him. So I can't just do what I want. He has bought and paid for my salvation, for my eternity. So in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom we have, what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have redemption. We have this freedom through redemption, through his blood. And I tell you, you know, there's just some things that, you know, you can read. I've had some personal experiences I've shared with you that I don't call, I guess it is a family member. It's my sister's husband. But I remember when we were in the house, she was at a bridal party and I was in the house with him. I just started to share the word with them. And I remember it was like yesterday. They just celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary. So he's good to her. And he coming around. But I remember that day. He got right here. And he said, the devil lives in here. And he beat his chest, caught me off guard. Because I'm home and he was quiet and I was sharing the word. And he jumped up and came right here. His eyes were as bright red as a couple of apples. And I thought he was going to take a swing at me. But as quick as that happened, it happened that quick, just that quick, it felt like a coat. That's the best way I can explain it. It felt like a coat dropped on me, just that quick. And right up out of here, out of my spirit, these words came. I said, Roberto, I pointed my finger at him. I said, Roberto, I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I said, I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. It happened so fast, you couldn't think of that quick because that's how quick it was. You know, anything that catches you off guard, you're like, No, it wasn't that way with me. That came right up and out, just like that. And it was a sword. And I'll tell you what he did. He did this. He walked away, and he wouldn't look at me for 3 days in the house. Every time I come into the room, he'd turn his head because of the blood, because of the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. He knew who I was, and even to this day, he knows it. I mean, I'm very congenial with him, very nice, but he knows. You don't forget those things. Oh, you don't forget him. And he's coming around. You know, God is greater. And he cares for him, even when you're being influenced by familiar spirits. God still loves people. Because what does it say? He said in 2 Timothy, he'd have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So you still love them. You still love them. And you still reach out. Because God does it with us. Even when we acted nutty and crazy and going off the side of the hill at 100 miles an hour, he's still trying to help us. Right? Still trying to help us. Still trying to reel us in. Still trying to love us. Right? So we're to do the same thing as him. Even when people are acting a fool and nuts, you just keep loving them. And you love them into eternal life. So God loves us. Galatians 3:13 in the Passion, it says, "Yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is cursed." So God wants us to be free and has set us free. And I like this, you know, we're all familiar with John 10:10. It says the thief in the King James, it says the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come, or it says I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I like the Passion translation because it really, to me, caps and encapsulates what that is. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. See, it's not like 50% he's thinking good and 50% he's thinking, well, maybe not so bad, you know, maybe I'll give him a break. It says a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and to destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, everything in abundance. More than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So, I don't know about you, but if Jesus said, I've come to give you abundance, everything in abundance, everything, not just a little bit over here, and well, this side is not too good. No, he said, everything in abundance. More than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. So how are those things initiated in our life? We have to believe what he said and expect it. Most times, people give up on those expectations after a year or two. You know, you can't even keep your New Year's promise for a month. I'm going to do this. And then you get tired of doing it after a month and you go, next year. Yeah. Well, if he said, I'll never change, I change not, and the word is forever settled in heaven, then it doesn't matter whether it's a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. There's some people been praying for folks for 10, 15 years, and they finally saw the light. And God's been waiting, slow to anger, right? Slow to anger, patient. And so we just need to trust God and believe God. If he said it, if he said, I can have everything, I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you can expect. And what does it say? Life in its fullness until it overflows. I'm going to have that. And I'm expecting it in my life. Amen. So the seed of God's word in 2 Corinthians 5:7, when it says we are to walk or conduct or regulate our lives by faith and not by sight. You know, one thing you can begin to, you know, if you have a conversation with someone, I do, I talk, but I listen. If somebody talks about their surroundings, their natural things, their body, their money, their stuff, and you do that all the time, you become more body conscious. What do I mean by that? You're less aware of who the real you is. If you're always talking about, I'm so tired. I am so tired. I'm so weak. I'm this, I'm that. We don't have enough money. You know, we can't do that. Your sense ruled. I'm not saying you ignore it. I'm not telling you that. But if you are always focused on that, then that becomes bigger than the promises of God. And the word or the seed of God, in order for it to produce, has to be planted. It's got to get down where? In your heart and watered so that it can produce. Produce what? Faith. Faith in God, and your faith in God, when I have faith and I speak and release it, just like Jesus, it will begin to cause things to happen and change in our lives. And this is why when we talk about confessing the word of God, some people say, yeah. Okay, the seed of God, any seed is powerless unless it's planted. So a seed must be planted. Well, you can go to the parable of the sower, and the word has to be sown and received into the ground of my heart and watered. And watered and spoken. And when it is, it begins to, you're doing what? When I speak something, I'm releasing my faith. I'm releasing my faith. How do we know that when you say you're releasing your faith? Anybody know the story, the parable of the man who had the palsy and he tried to get into the house where Jesus was ministering and he couldn't? And they said the four that bore him brought him up on the roof and they tore the roof open and dropped him in front of Jesus. And what did this scripture say? It says Jesus saw their faith. Well, how do you see faith? You can't see faith, but you can see the results of faith. You can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind. You can't see faith, but you sure can see faith acted upon. You can see it. Why? Because faith is an act. Faith says, I'm doing this. Well, you can't see the faith in a person's heart, but the faith motivated the person to act. So Jesus said, I see your faith, and you're healed because of your faith. So here, seed, the seed of God's word, must be listened to, which is the word of God. That's why it's so important. Feeding on the word, listening to the word, Romans 10:10. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So the more I hear it, the more I let it get down in my heart and I water it, it begins to do what? It begins to grow. We know the scripture, it said, Apollos watered, but somebody planted, Apollos watered. I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. So you've got to plant it, you've got to have it watered, but once you do, God's going to cause it to grow. And when it grows, what? Revelation comes, you see things and you go, I'm going to have that. I'm going to get that. We're going to have that. We're blessed. Even when all kinds of goofy stuff is going on, I'm blessed. Why am I blessed? Because the word of God is alive in me and the promises of God are alive and I'm going to have exactly what God said I can have, which is the blessings of God, which is my peace and my prosperity. And he said, I wish above all things that you what? Prosper and be in health. I'm going to have that. Well, it doesn't come out of my head just because I memorized the scripture, but it's because I got the seed of God's word down here and I kept watering it and I kept saying it and it came alive, right? And because it came alive, I began to do what? When that became alive, I said, I have it. That's mine. Isn't that what happened to the woman that had the issue of blood? Mark 5, it says she heard of Jesus. She heard what? She heard something from the people, the crowd, the noise, that Jesus wants you to be well. And what does it say? She spent all her money that she had, and she didn't get any better, but rather grew worse. And she said she got up. You know, when you think about the society that they lived in, the rules, they couldn't, if they had blood flow, like a woman having a menstrual period, they couldn't go out. They were considered unclean, so they couldn't go out in society. And she risked her life going out into society. They were supposed to yell, you can read a count, unclean, 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 just like the leper. But she risked it all, and she went out. She was what? In faith, she acted, and she was convinced of what she heard and said, I'm going to be healed. And what happened? She said, it says, she touched the hem of his garment, and virtue flowed out of Jesus, and she was instantly healed. So all we're saying today is if we get the word of God in our hearts and we keep feeding on it, with all the noise, you know, the devil wants us to fear, 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 fear. If we get this in here, no fear here, faith is in here, because this word is full of faith. Full of power. What does it say? Romans 1:16. The word of God is the power of God. So when we get that in there, we can walk through this troubled world, this darkness of this world, in confidence, in peace. Hallelujah. But it's going to take us, you've got to cast down imaginations, vain imaginations, and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so when that happens, when thoughts come, you know, ever think about this? When the scripture talks about it and says we're to cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, God gave you an imagination. Boy, some of us can really come up with some stuff. But he gave you an imagination. But that imagination is to be used to glorify him. So, our imagination, we're made in the image and likeness of God. We're a spirit. We have a soul and we live in this body. We're made in his image and likeness. But this imagination that we have, we can use it to think and to imagine things. Well, if I get enough of God's word in me and my mind gets renewed, then I can imagine and it becomes a stronghold, doesn't it? You know, when it talks about don't let something become a stronghold in your life, well, that's negative. We know when we use certain words, we always think negative. People say, well, there was a stronghold over there. Well, you always think negative. But how positive would it be if I've got my mind renewed to the word of God and it's strong in my heart? It's a stronghold in me and nothing that comes against me is going to rock or shake you. Isn't that what the scripture says? Let's turn over there. I believe it's in, where is that in Matthew? Well, I think I have it here. I can get to it quicker over here. Luke, let's look at this. It's Luke 6. This is, I like this particular rendering here instead of Matthew. But Luke 6 and verse 47, 48, and 49. This is a stronghold here. Not negative, but positive. says in verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and doeth what? Heareth my sayings and doeth them. It says, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, right? He built a house and did what? He dug deep and laid the foundation on what? On a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, couldn't shake it. It was a strong fortress, or you could say a stronghold. And it says, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, so you hear it, says, talk like a man that saw himself in a mirror and forgot who he was like. It says, here you hear and don't do the word. It says, is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth against which the stream did vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So let me ask this question. The house that is built on sand looks exactly the same as the house that is built on the rock. They both look the same until the storm comes. So it's important in these times that we live to build our house on God's word, get the seed of God's word down in our heart, meditate on it, water it. This is why we talk about divine increase. God wants us to increase. He's given us everything we could possibly have. It says he's given us all spiritual blessings. So I just share that today to think about, meditate about. And let me just close with this one scripture that's dear to me. Proverbs, well, we'll look at this. Proverbs 103, two scriptures. Proverbs 103, verses 1 through 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do what? Forget not all his benefits. Don't forget them. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. And Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23, says, my child, pay attention. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to what? My words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them, my words, penetrate deep into your heart. So it's getting it down where? Into your heart, into your spirit. For they, the words, bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart. Guard it above all else. For it, your heart, determines the course of your life. This is a new living. How is that possible? You know, when you read, it says, guard thy heart with all diligence, this is the King James, for out of it come the issues of life. That word issues in the Hebrew means boundaries. So you set the boundaries in your life, not people, you know, these people against me. Now, there are natural things that are going on in society, but that can't stop a person who's in faith. It cannot. And so when we look at all of those things, it says, guard your heart at all cost, some translations say. For what? It determines the course of your life. What does that mean? The things that you meditate on and the things that you get down into your heart and believe and speak. That's why it says guard your heart. Those things that you believe and you begin to speak, you put that into motion. You set boundaries. If you say, I can't, you won't. If you say you'll never have it, you won't. You're setting boundaries. So it's not the government. Yeah, the government can be against people, but it cannot stop and build walls to restrict what you can have. It cannot. Faith. I'm jumping. Go over to 1 John 5:4. Let's go over there just for a moment. 1 John 5:4. Faith overcometh the world. I know we're going back over things we know, but 1 John 5:4. King James says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. I like some of these other translations. This is the Passion Translation. It says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So if I get the seed of God's word planted in my heart and I guard this heart, that there's no boundaries that can be set to restrict the blessings of God to you. None. So when he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, then if you embrace it, you embrace the seed and you don't trample it and you let it get into your heart and you water it, you'll have it. But if you go, I don't know. You know, the seed, it talks about, what does it say in the parable of the sower? It says, in one of them, it says that thorns and thistles did what? Choked. It says the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and it became what? Unfruitful. So we have to watch the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. It doesn't mean we can't have things and be rich. It doesn't say you shouldn't. It says that the deceitfulness of it can choke the fruitfulness of the word. So one has to be conscious of that. So all we're really saying today is that the seed of God's word, we're in covenant with him through the blood of Jesus, and his word needs to get planted and watered in my heart. And when it does, he brings the increase. And when that begins to increase and faith arises and I speak and release that, it begins to change things. It begins to make things happen and cause things to be created and exist. What are you doing? Faith releases the power of God. Faith releases the power of God. That's what Romans chapter 1, we'll just look at that real quick here. Romans chapter 1, in verse 16. Familiar verse. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto" what? Salvation. "To everyone that" what? "Believeth." To the Jew first and then also to the Greek. So we have to believe the gospel. Believe the word of God. And when we do, there's no boundaries. And all these blessings will happen in our lives. They will just happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope I'm just sharing from my heart this morning. And I hope that registers with you. Don't get caught up in the stresses and the pulls. You know, you know, all this stuff, it just keeps feeding what? Words, information. And if you embrace this, I'm not saying you don't listen to it, but do what? What does the scripture say? It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed" by what? "The renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So God is looking. Yeah, our hearts were changed instantly, but this mind needs to be constantly renewed on the word of God. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you that it's powerful. Thank you that it's changing us in us and renewing us. And we're not conforming to the world in the name of Jesus, but we're being transformed in the name of Jesus by the power of your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think about, you know, whatever endeavor of life you're in, keep, you know, Brother Hagin used to say this when he was alive, be more God inside minded. What does that mean? Don't be so focused on your body, your stuff. It doesn't mean we're not supposed to think about it, but don't be consumed with it. You know, if you need something in life, money, or you need resources to do something, or your body needs an adjustment or health, believe God. Believe his word. Now, does that mean we don't go to doctors and we don't? No, that doesn't mean that at all. Get the help you need, but you trust God. What does Proverbs 5, what does it say in 3:5? Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in who? The Lord, and lean not unto your own understanding. What else does it say? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with what? With what? Your heart, 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 not your body, not your mind. Trust in the Lord with your heart. And lean not to your flesh and your body and what you see and what people are telling. You can't have this, you can't go here, you can't do this, blah, 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 blah. We have a covenant, a blood covenant with God through his word, through Jesus. And if I guard my heart, then those boundaries, what does it say? Out of your heart, you set boundaries. How do you set boundaries? With what you say. With what you say. And with what the words that you speak in faith set boundaries. Because why? You believe what you say. You don't say something, go, I don't believe that. Then that means you're confused. But most people, you talk to them long enough, they'll tell you what they believe. I believe this, and I believe that. Because they've meditated on it, they've talked about it, what? They've muttered it, they've rehearsed it, they've talked about it, talked about it, talked about it, talked about it. And they believed it. So why can't we do the same thing where God's word is concerned? You didn't get to the place of believing what you believed saying it one time, did you? No, you didn't. You kept saying it. You heard some information over here. You heard some information over here. You thought about it. You talked about it. And you came to a place of believing. Didn't you? We all have. So why can't we do the same thing where God's supernatural word is concerned? You didn't get to the place of believing his word just instantly. You had to hear it and hear it and hear it. You muttered it. You heard it again. You heard it again. And you got to the place where you believed. And when you believed it, you said something. I believe that. So there are areas, all I'm really saying is if you're not at the place where you believe something, that doesn't make God's word untrue. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. So God's word is forever settled in heaven. Just because you don't believe it, that means it says it's the power of God to those who believe. So when you don't believe, you don't benefit. You don't receive the blessings of God just because you didn't believe. So you know what? Why do without? He paid, he shed his blood so we can be blessed. Well then, open the book. Start reading it. Start feeding it. You may start at that place. Nah, I don't know. I'm not sure I believe that. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep feeding on it. Keep watering it. And little by little, the light will come on you. Say, you know what? I see this. I see it. Now I believe it. That's the power of God's word. Right? We've all experienced that. I mean, every one of us. There's things, you know, when I first heard it, there's some things I heard when I was young in the Lord. I went, let me sit and think about that a little bit. Every one of us, if you're honest, you'd say, I have to think about that a little bit. And the more you fed upon it, the more you grew in the knowledge of God and you grew in faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's not come up short. He desires that we all prosper and be in health. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? Time to close. I've shared enough. I'm just sharing from my heart today and endeavor that helps a little bit. Keep us on track, right? We're here to encourage one another. Sometimes people encourage me, and I'm here to encourage you. You know, you go through life, you know, as they say, stuff happens. And, you know, people say, stuff happens to good people. Why? Because there's a devil who's meant to do what? John 10:10, to steal and to kill and to destroy. So I'm gotten, you know, people say, well, I must have done something bad. No, you didn't. The devil hates people. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, but he'll sure go after Christians, but he just hates people. But God loves people. He died for everybody so that they can have this wonderful, joyful life and prosperous life. Hallelujah. So let's say this before we leave. If you've never made a public profession of Jesus, and you've never asked him to come into your heart. Maybe you believed in Jesus, but you believed that he's the Christ, he's the Savior, but you never made a profession of faith. That profession of faith did what? Caused the power of God to go into operation and change your heart. So, it's all right. She's a sweetheart. Amen. Ms. Emily, praise the Lord. So, let's say this. Father God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus here to this earth to die for the sins of mankind and to destroy the works of the devil. I believe he took our sins and my sins and took them to the cross. And I thank you that he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, on the third day, we were raised from the dead and now seated with him in heavenly places. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me, and I'll serve you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you meant that from your heart, you never ever remember doing that, you just got born again. That's it. You may not have felt anything, but if you meant that from your heart, you were instantly changed on the inside. Hallelujah. I always say this for people making a choice or a decision. If you were to die and leave this earth right now, would you know where you're going? Would you know that you know that you know that you know that if I slipped out of this body, am I going up or going down? Do you know where you're going? And if you are convinced of that, then you have the witness of God in you. If you know you're going to heaven, then you're born again. But if you're not really sure and you want to be sure, those that said that and meant it, then you got saved. You got born again. And you can know that when you leave this earth, you have eternity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. So if you said that, let me know and we'll give you some free information about who you've become.